attitude that we need to develop, that we will be willing to go wherever it is that you want me to go. So oftentimes, Lord, you just simply need us to go to our own home. So often we need to go to our own community and proclaim the love and salvation of Jesus. Lord, give us the courage to do that. And Father, there's other times that you want us to go throughout this state, throughout this nation, throughout this world, to share the hope of Christ. Lord, wherever we need to go, help us, Lord, to be motivated. Just like Nehemiah, who needed to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the city, the wall, and to encourage the people in the way of the Lord. Bless us now, Lord, and keep us as we look into your word this morning. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. May be seated. It's certainly good for everyone to be here today. We know that there are a lot of folks who would love to be in church today, but the weather prevented them from being there. And the neat thing about our Facebook is these are the type of times when it really is valuable for those who aren't able to make it. They can actually be able to participate in worship. While they can't be here, they can at least be part of that as well. So we appreciate Amy's work to make sure all that begins to happen. But thank you for choosing to be in God's house today. We'll be looking at Nehemiah chapter 2, if you'd like to open up your Bibles. And as you know, we started at the beginning of the year a new sermon series found in Nehemiah. And today we are going to be looking at the first nine verses of Nehemiah chapter 2. And just as a reminder, we know that a lot has taken place in the children of Israel. They have been conquered by the Babylonians. The Persians had done. The southern kingdom, called the kingdom of Judah, has been sequestered away, just like the prophets had foretold that if they had been, if they failed to follow God, God would scatter them across the world. And that's exactly what has happened. They've been in bondage. But now all of a sudden, those who are in bondage are now being allowed to come back home. And Nehemiah had a conversation with Hanani, whether that's his literal brother or brother in through the Jewish faith. He proclaimed the fact, whenever asked by Nehemiah, how's the people doing? How is Jerusalem? And the truth was shared with him. And the truth broke Nehemiah's heart because he found out the people were struggling and that the walls of Jerusalem remained to be torn down and had been burnt over and was in shambles. There's one good thing that happened. The temple had been rebuilt, and we knew that through a couple of other prophets. And now we see the prophet Nehemiah. Also, we'll see as we progress through this passage, or through this series, Ezra, who also discovered the law and the encouragement for which the law provided to people. But here we see the cupbearer of the king, is what we discussed last week. He was really struggling with what was going on. And the passage that we'll look at today will be how God began to move in Nehemiah's heart, which I believe is an important lesson for all of us to hear and understand. For when we have our hearts in the position for which God needs us to be, and as we recall from last week, Nehemiah had devoted himself to prayer, to mourning, and to fasting, and God began to speak to his heart, and it changed him and transformed him to mold him to be willing to go where God needed him to go. He was in a very comfortable position as a cupbearer to the king. He had daily contact with the king. It was a prestigious position. He was very comfortable living a life of comfort. But yet God touched his heart, and now all of a sudden we'll see that he was ready to go. What will it take you and me to be willing to go wherever God tells us to go? Let's look at God's word, starting with verse 1 of chapter 2. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in the presence of the king before. So the king asked, "Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it that you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you be back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, a keeper of the royal park, so he will give me the timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious king hand of my king was on of my God, excuse me, was on me, the king granted my request. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me." Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this passage of scripture, Lord. And as we begin to review it and to see what you have in store for us, Lord, we see your power written throughout that. Thank you for Nehemiah and for his heart that was committed to you, Father, and whose heart was allowing him to have a communication with the king that unleashed the power of the true living God so that he could go back and do what God needed him to do. Lord, we thank you for Nehemiah's willingness to allow the passion of God to reign supreme in his heart. Thank you, Lord, for it to not only change his thoughts, but it changes his whole countenance, Lord, so it can be obvious and so that you can move in such a mighty way through a king's life to grant him what was needed to provide what you've called Nehemiah to do. Lord, bless us now as we look into your scripture. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, as we look at this passage, you can look in your bulletin. There's some fill in the blanks along with our notes that you can share with us. But I want to ask this question: are you ready to go? And as we explore this question, we'll look at the life of Nehemiah in this particular specific passage. Because if you're ready to go, there are three things that need to be happening in and around our lives. One is, if you're ready to go, you will have a passion to go. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. "In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought to him, I took the wine and I gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, 'Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart.' I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, 'May the king live forever.'" Now listen to this closely. "Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors were buried lives in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Now he is being completely transparent with the king. And anytime that you had dialogue with the king, you risked your life, because if you don't have permission to share, the king would have you killed. You know, so I mean, there's a lot going on. And here, the passion was so deep in Nehemiah's life that it had to bubble out, and he shared. And when the king recognized there was something different about his life, the king sincerely wanted to know, because the king really did care for Nehemiah. He cared about him. And so he wanted to know. Nehemiah was passionate about God's people. When you're passionate about something, you simply cannot contain it. Passion, sometimes we think, is an overjoy, but sometimes a passion inside of us dwells us, and if things are not going the way it needs to go, it impacts us, and perhaps there's melancholy or this sadness that we see in Nehemiah's life. When you're passionate about something, you just have to be able to share it. You're sharing it on the outside countenance, but sometimes we have the opportunity to share it with our mouth. So let me ask you this question. Are you passionate about something? Are you passionate about God? See, passion should impact us. I'm told of a tale with the great English actor Macready. And there was an eminent preacher of the time, and they were in the same area, and every night Macready had a performance, and there was just people flocked to them, to those performances, just enjoying it. And each night the pastor would preach, and there would be hardly anyone that would show up. And finally the preacher goes to Macready and says, I don't understand a whole lot. There's something I have to know. Can you answer one of my questions?" Of course, Macready said, "Well, I don't know what I can do to share an answer for a preacher, but sure, ask the question." He says, "Well, why is it that everyone flocks to your performance, but whenever I'm preaching the truth, the gospel of Jesus, no one seems to come?" He said, well, you know, it's quite simple, in fact. He said, I can tell there's a difference between you and me. See, I present my fiction as though it were truth, and you present the truth as if it was fiction. You know, perhaps the real difference between McCrady and this pastor was a thing called passion. Satan will motivate people to be passionate about stuff. And they're not passionate about the things that we ought to be passionate about, but yet the same, it's very attracting when people are excited. People are attracted to those things. Why are they not attracted to the gospel of Jesus Christ? When we are passionate about Jesus, when we're passionate about his message and we begin to share it, people will see that excitement and be attracted to that excitement. See, when we're passionate about something, it's more than lip service. Passion ignites excitement, and excitement begins to attract people to the truth. Passion gives us a purpose. John Maxwell shares that purpose does some things such as these things. A purpose will motivate you. A purpose will keep your priorities straight. A purpose will develop your potential. A purpose will give you power to live in the present. A purpose will help you evaluate your progress. I shared that in our pastor's prayer meeting on Thursday morning because it spoke to my heart and it did go right along with that, because sometimes how purposeful are we? If we lose track of our purpose, what does that do for our passion? Our purpose is accentuated through passion. Nehemiah was passionate and purposeful in his mission for which God stirred within him. Your passion has a purpose. If we are passionate about something, it compels us with a conviction that can't be hidden. There are no hiding the passion that Nehemiah had for God and for the city of Jerusalem. When this passion was burning within, it inspired Nehemiah's whole complexion. The king could see something was amiss because he had spent lots of time with Nehemiah, but this time he could see just in the way that he presented himself, there was something very, very wrong going on there. Why? Well, Nehemiah's passionate about something, and it was troublesome because the things that he's passionate about wasn't moving forward to bring God glory. The king could see everything in Nehemiah's countenance. When you're passionate about something, it impacts you so much that people can't help but tell what's going on inside, something. In order to be prepared to be moved and to go for God, you have to have passion. And the passion that comes from God that resides inside of us, that's what gives us purpose, specifically God's purpose, not our own. This passion is a consuming fire within us to make a difference for the Lord. Passion from God that is within you moves you from a simple contemplation of thinking, maybe I ought to do that. It moves us from that stage to a desire to see a difference. And that's what we're seeing in Nehemiah's heart. He heard from Hannah and I the truth, and the truth sometimes is not what we like to hear, but nonetheless, truth is truth, and we have to adjust ourselves to God's truth. And as he was adjusting himself to the truth of God that had been presented to him, it was beginning to move him in the inside. Nehemiah was passionate for Jerusalem and the people, and that passion could be seen by others that looked on him. So are you passionate for the Lord? For if we're passionate, people can see a passion inside us. Can people see God's passion in your life? Do you have the passion inside of you that will move you to go for God? So are you ready to go? Second point is this. Then we must be willing to go. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. The king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of the heaven. And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. Nehemiah's passion was seen by the king. The king could see that Nehemiah was really being moved from something special inside. Remember that prayer that Nehemiah prayed for which we studied last week? You know, if you can look in verse to chapter 1 and review that as a review. But Nehemiah had asked God for success and for God to grant him compassion in the presence of the king. You remember that prayer that he had? You can look through chapter 1 and see that real quickly. Now what's happening? After this prayer, something is happening in this interaction between Nehemiah and the king. When we saturate things with prayer and ask for God to begin to move, guess what happens? If we pray in faith in the will of God, that's what we're seeing here. What's happening? Nehemiah is living with passion. The king sees it. And with compassion, just like he had prayed for, he asked Nehemiah, not Nehemiah asking the king. The king asked Nehemiah, well, what is it that you want? You see, it would have been illegal and would have cost Nehemiah his life if he would have asked that question to the king. But instead, God moved into the king's heart in such a way that he begins the conversation by asking Nehemiah the question. See, the king is a conduit of God's power in this particular situation. He was going to use the king to accomplish his will. What was this passion-filled Nehemiah ready to do? Well, according to this passage, it says, let him send me to the city. Nehemiah was willing to go. His response was simple. Let him send me to the city. How excited would you, restful friends, if God wanted to move you to the city? There's some of you who've lived there, some of you haven't lived there and don't have no desire to live there. But if the passion inside you compels you to go to a place that you're not comfortable with, that is an absolute mess, everything is in shambles all around you, but God gives you the passion to go, will you be like Nehemiah and will you be ready to go? God had prepared Nehemiah's heart and he had prepared the king's heart. Both hearts have been prepared by God himself for this very moment in time. After prayer and preparation, Nehemiah was willing to go. You know, many people are often passionate about God, but they're not always willing to go for him. See, to be ready to go for God, it takes more than just passion. It takes a faithful desire to be willing to say yes to what he's telling us to do. Sometimes we want to go a different direction, and we try to convince God to change the course for which we want it to be. Well, not to the city, God. How about to the suburbs? Not to this state. How about to another state? Not this country. Maybe another. We try to play a game of negotiations with God. But God's will is perfect. God's will is sovereign. And God's will is what we have to adjust to. God doesn't adjust himself to us. He prepares us for the assignment. And he had prepared Nehemiah. And now all of a sudden we see a willingness beyond the passion to do what God's commanded him to do. And we have to go God's direction. We have to go his way. Any other way other than God's way is the wrong way. But we must be willing to go the right way. We have to adjust ourselves to God. An old sailor repeatedly got lost at sea. And so his friends, they bought him a compass and urged him to use it. Well, the next time he went out to the boat, he followed their advice and he took the compass with him. But as usual, he became hopelessly lost again, and he was unable to find the land. Finally, he was rescued by these same friends who gave him the compass to help keep his way straight. Disgusted and impatient with him, they asked, why didn't you use the compass we gave you? You could have saved us a lot of trouble. And the sailor responded, he said, well, I did use it. I did use it. I wanted to go north, but as hard as I tried to make that needle aim in that direction, it just wouldn't go there. And so I knew which way north was, and the compass was going the wrong direction, so I continued to follow what I knew to be north, even though the compass was directing me the other way. So he tossed it aside. It was worthless, and he failed to benefit him from the guidance that it offered. You know, sometimes we try to do the same thing. We try to argue with that due north that comes on the compass because we somehow know that the direction that we know is a better way and will get us to our destination. And that's when we choose on our own accounts to dismally fail. See, we may be passionate about going for God, but we must be willing to go his way. Any other direction but God's way will get us off course. See, Nehemiah was passionate. Nehemiah was willing to give up the comfort of the king's palace. Are you willing to go, even if it means giving up what makes you comfortable with? See, Nehemiah was. Nehemiah was willing to go for God despite the sacrifice, despite the challenges, despite the risk. Somehow we feel justified if we feel like the risk is too great for us because we may have to sacrifice something personally. Well, guess what? To be an effective Christian who goes for God, we will sacrifice. We will take risks if God tells us to do that. We must follow his direction. Any other direction is wrong. Nehemiah was willing to do it God's way and at God's time. Nehemiah was willing to follow God's directions. Remember this, God's direction is always right. God's will is always right. We must always adjust ourselves to the will of God. We must always adjust ourselves to the direction of God. So do you see God's direction? When you see God at work, are you willing to adjust yourself and go with him and do it? Even if that means sacrifice. See, are you ready to go? There's a third important point that we need to recognize. We must be prepared to go. Starting with verse 7. I also said to him, if it pleases a king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple for the city. And for the residence I'll occupy. And this is a beautiful word, beautiful passage. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. So I went to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates and gave him the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When we go for the Lord, it's important that we are passionate for God. It's important that we are be willing to go for God. But as we go for God, we must be prepared. I came across an illustration several centuries ago. A Japanese emperor commissioned an artist to paint a bird. A number of months passed, and then a number of years. And finally, several years had passed, and no painting was brought to the palace. Finally, the emperor became so exasperated that he went to the artist's home to demand an explanation. Instead of making an excuse, the artist placed a blank canvas on the easel, and in less than an hour, he completed a painting that was to become a brilliant masterpiece. When the emperor asked the reason for the delay, the artist showed him armloads of drawings of feathers, armloads of drawings of wings, armloads of drawings of heads, armload drawings of feet. Then he explained that all of this research and study was necessary before he could complete the painting. You see, to get the masterpiece, you have to be prepared and be able to master certain components of what God's called us to do. He prepares us spiritually. He prepares us physically. He prepares for us in so many different ways, all culminating together to give the masterpiece of God's will. See, when we go for God, passion and willingness is generally not enough. We have to be prepared. Nehemiah prayed, and God opened the door to prepare him. Before he went to Jerusalem, God inspired Nehemiah's heart to request very important items to prepare for the difficult journey and mission ahead. Letters of safety, letters for resources. Then Nehemiah said, and because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. Friends, no matter how passionate that you may be, no matter how willing that you may be to go for God, you must be prepared by God. Nehemiah prayed, he mourned, and he fasted. Nehemiah sought the truth and the particulars of the mission before he left. He sought the power of God to protect. He sought the power of God to deliver the resources that was needed. He sought the power of God to be on mission for him. Going to Jerusalem, making a positive difference in the lives of God's people was not an easy task for Nehemiah to complete. There are a lot of risks for his own life, risk for safety, risk that there is a lack of resources. Nehemiah had to give up the comforts of his king's palace. There were many people who did not want the Jews to rebuild, and we'll find that a little as the weeks go on as we study this passage. When we go for God, it's generally not easy. It generally takes sacrifice. So are you willing to do whatever is necessary to be prepared for God, or to be prepared by God, to go for God? Even when the preparation will reveal risk, challenges, and sacrifices. Even if you give up the comforts of home or what are your whatever it is that you're comfortable with, are you willing to give up those comfort levels to be prepared for God, to go for Him? So what is stopping you from truly being prepared? What is stopping you from being ready to go for God? It does take passion, passion for God, passion for His will. It takes us willingness to go, to be willing to break out of our comfort zones and to go, and it requires us to be prepared. We need to be prayed up. We need to be spiritually prepared. We need to know the scriptures. We need to know the mission. We need to be as prepared as we possibly can to fulfill the mission for which God gives to us. I'm going to ask right now if you'll stand with me and as the musicians come. Perhaps this morning you're here today. I know we're small in numbers, and I know this is a faithful group of people that comes who loves the Lord and cares deeply for Him. But let me ask you, maybe God's moving in your hearts. You know, this is how God moves in our hearts. Perhaps today you've never even contemplated going on a mission trip. Perhaps you've never contemplated on being used by God to get you out of your comfort zone. But today, the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and saying, are you really ready to go for me? You've been going a lot of places, but are you ready to go for me? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? No one looking around. Are you passionate for God? Has God revealed something to you that you just know and desire to accomplish for Him? It may be huge and it might be small. It doesn't matter. God makes the call. You have to do what He's called you to do. Have you allowed your passion for God to grow into a willingness to go for Him? What's stopping you from going to the Jerusalem that God reveals? What are you prepared? Are you prepared to go? Are you making prayer a priority in your life? Are you reading and studying the Word, knowing it, and become passionate about what it stands for and what it means and the truth that it reveals? Are you seeking God's power and direction? Are you willing to follow God's direction for His mission? This morning, are you ready to go? I'm going to have a word of prayer, and perhaps this morning there are some things that you've recognized in your own life that perhaps today you know that you need to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, and I want to invite you to come and do that. You can't be ready to go until you belong to God, and perhaps today you recognize and realize you've been going through the motions, but you really don't belong to Him, and now today the Holy Spirit has revealed to you, He is drawing you to Himself to say, I need to be His child. Perhaps you are His child, and perhaps today you've been struggling because you know that there's a passion inside of you. You know that God has revealed His will, and you've been reluctant to be willing to do it. Perhaps today you know that you can say yes to the Lord. Whatever is your decision that you need to make, to accept Christ, to follow in believers' baptism, to be united with this church, or any burden that's on your heart, give it up to God. Because today, we must be ready to go for God. Father, we thank You for who You are, for what You mean to us, Lord. And thank You for Your powerful words this morning from Your scripture. Lord, help us to hear them, to understand them, to digest them, and to put them into action in our life. Lord, thank You for choosing us to go for You, Father. Thank You, Lord, for all those who are here. Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to make any type of decision, give us the courage to do that right now. In the name of Christ, I pray. Pat, we're going to sing page number. If you need to make a decision, I invite you to come right now as we sing. Thank you. this chorus one last time. And as we do, it's more than just words that we're singing. Let it be a testimony of what you really mean. You see, for us, when we belong to Jesus, we don't hit the easy button and things are always easy. We must be willing to do whatever God has called us to do. So I challenge you, as God challenged the heart of Nehemiah, to go to a place of uncomfort, a place that was difficult, that are you willing to go, really, wherever God leads you? Perhaps he needs you to go across the street and talk to that neighbor who's struggling. You haven't got to know them yet, but you need to, because they need to know about Jesus. So if you really want to make that a testimony, let's sing this chorus together. Not just the words, but the meanings of what these words really mean. For being here today. I know that the weather was kind of slippery and yucky out there, but you chose to come back here. Thank you for being here, for choosing to be willing to go through this to be able to be here today. Appreciate that very much. Mike's going to come and share with us a couple of announcements. And Denzel, at the end, I'm going to ask if you'll dismiss us in prayer, though. Thank you, brother, for you and Sister Diane. He's licensed, ordained in gospel ministry still yet today. He just retired from the pastorate, but we're certainly thankful. It gives you the flexibility to be able to come to different places. And so we're certainly thankful for you. And thank you for your continued ministries. If you don't think that a retired minister doesn't continue to minister, talk to him, and you better have about an hour of time to listen to it. So, Michael's going to do it.
All right, so just guys, a couple things we got going on. Tonight, we do have quarterly business meetings. We have worship tonight at 6:30, business meeting right afterwards, so be sure to put that on your calendar and be here tonight for that. The 26th, it's 6:30, that's Sunday night. We're going to do The Overcomer. That's going to be our movie night for that night, Christian movie night, the movie The Overcomer, so be here for that. I know everybody's getting ready for their taxes and thinking about next year already. So if you want your 2020 tithing and special offerings tracked, you need to let Sandy Weiss know, and she'll be sure to take care of that for you. And then February 3rd is the Men and Get Boys Wild Game Supper at First Baptist Church, California. More information is coming soon. Grace, you've got something.
Well, there's in the past, as some of you know, there's been some discussion about doing a new directory, because the last time a directory was done has been over 6 years ago. So Brother Alan was approached to do this endeavor. So Al, Shirley Luton, and I met with a representative from Life Touch, who did our directory last time. This past Thursday, we met with him, and we discussed options for a new directory. So in the past, we had, this is called a classic directory. Took the photo shoots, had activity pages, and you couldn't update it until you did a whole new directory. Well, the company now has an option that is called Community Connect. And the difference in this one is it's an updatable directory. So what that means, we're going to do just like we did with the classic. We will schedule times for every family to come and have their photos taken. And that'll be done, of course, by the Life Touch photographer. And everyone that has a picture taken will receive one free 8x10 picture. But the difference in this program is, if you do not participate, because in the past we had activity pages, so we had extra directories. The difference in this updatable one, if you do not participate and have your photo taken and put in the directory, you will not receive a free directory. But everyone that has their photo taken and put in the directory, you will get a free directory in addition to your free 8x10. Okay, if you can't, for some reason, you're not able to schedule a photo shoot, you may submit a photo. It would have to be a 5x7. They won't take 8x10s. And if it is taken, whatever company it's taken from, you have to have a permission slip from that company for them to be able to have permission to use it to insert in the directory. The company would like for this photo to be in a vertical format because that's how the directory's going to be, but if that's not possible, they'll work with a different one. This program that we have chosen also has an online website. And what that's going to do, it will display your photo as well as your information, which the information would be like your address, your telephone number. And in this program, you can also include your cell phone number, your email address, if you want that information in the directory and on the web page. They can block your picture from the web page, but they cannot block your information. So if you have an issue with having your address, phone numbers, whatever, out on the web, then the only way to prevent that is not to have your picture in the directory, because they can't block personal information, okay? Now, the updatable part of this directory, excuse me, as we get new members or a family dynamic changes, such as children get married or unfortunately, if you lose someone, then as long as we have 25 people that have changes or new members, LifeTouch will come out, take those 25 pictures, and they will update the new directory and insert all that information in there, and everyone that is in the directory then will receive a new updated directory at no charge. Okay? They won't come and take new pictures for less than 25 shoots. And everybody in the directory does not have to take their picture over. They'll just take the changes. And everybody else's picture will still remain in the directory. But everybody in the directory will get a new updated one. I know it's an important tool for everybody because it gives us addresses, new members, we can put names to faces. So we really hope that we can have 100% participation in this. And we are looking at scheduling the shoots in either March or April, depending on the availability that the company has, because we kind of have to work around their schedule also. And as we receive more information on this, we'll keep you updated. And by all means, if you have questions, you can see Al, Shirley, or myself. Right now, that's hopefully didn't keep you too long. Al or Shirley, do you either one have anything to add to that? Okay, thanks, and we hope that everybody will participate. We'll keep you updated as we know more. Thank you.
That's cool, that's exciting. Anything else anybody has got? Other announcements? All right, be safe, see you here tonight. Well done.